In today's gospel, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Freedom. That's the heartbeat of Reformation and Reformation Sunday. But Jesus isn't talking about political freedom or the ability to do whatever we want. He's talking about a deeper kind of freedom. The freedom that comes when our hearts, our lives, and our thinking are reformed by God's truth. The Reformation wasn't about one man challenging an institution. It was about the church rediscovering the truth that we are saved by grace through faith. And that truth still sets us free today. We live in a time where fear shouts louder than hope. Violence has become too familiar. Anger has become a language we all understand, but few can bear to speak anymore. We're tired of it. Even faith itself is sometimes used not to heal, but to divide. This month, even, that violence came close to home, right here in Beaufort County. When tragedy touches home, it calls us not just to grieve, but to reform. To say, this is not who we are. This is not who God calls us to be. I wonder, if Jesus walked among us today, what would he reform? I think about this a lot. Picture Jesus today as a man walking the earth just like you and me today in this town, in the state of South Carolina, in our country, in our world. And what would his heart and his thinking reform? What tables would he overturn? Whose hands would he take into his own? I believe he would stand where the pain is the deepest, among the grieving, the fearful, the overlooked. And he would tell his church, do not lose heart. I am here. Keep praying. Keep reforming. When I think about Reformation, too, I think about what God keeps doing in me. The reforming that I have experienced in my life so far. And hopefully all the reformation that's going to continue to happen in my life to come. And then that glorious reformation at the end when I'll be reunited in body, soul, and mind fully with my Creator. I've learned over the years that I am very good at talking to God, but not always at listening. I like to act first and then pray later. I think I know what God wants me to do. I take on too much. I don't like to say it this way, I like to play God in other people's life and think that I can help. And it's coming from a good place. But I need to first ask God and not just talk and ask God to help and then go do. I need to give it time because I need to listen. God talks through each of us. And if I'm just praying and then doing nothing and then figuring out what I'm going to do, I'm not giving God that opportunity to work through you and me, to tell me through you what he would have me to do. And I want to fix things. And we're told God put us on this earth to do that for him. But reformation begins when we stop pretending that we're the Savior and we remember who really is. It's actually God's job. And God will do it, especially if we listen. It begins when we let go of control. And that's a hard for me. And we listen for God's quiet voice saying, "Be still. Be still, Sarah. Let me lead. I'll show you where to go. I'll show them where to go. I got this." That is the truth that sets us free. Freedom not through control, but through surrender to God's leading. Listening is an act of faith. It's how prayer becomes transformation. When I was a child, I used to stay up at night talking to God because I worried a lot. I had a lot of anxiety and fear, and I think my parents, they grew weary of hearing it all day long, all night long, calling them in. And they said, "You know what? You can tell God all these things." So I just started talking to God all the time, asking God, "Why is there so much suffering? Why is there so much wrong with this earth? And why can't we seem to get it right?" And one night in a dream, when I was about 11 years old, God gave me peace, a sense that each of us have a role in this love story. The reason why God created us to be his children on the earth, the purpose for this whole thing. God said that he created us because he needed something and someone to show his love to each other. That we are instruments of God's care for one another, and he's equipped each one of us with special gifts that we have, and we're to figure those out on this journey, and then we are to use those to show God's love to his children. That dream was my first taste of reformation. That dream reformed my little heart and my mind and my soul. It reformed my anxiety that kept me up at night into my calling. God's truth freed me from fear and worry and gave me purpose. And then many, 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 many years later, in 2023, I faced another kind of reformation, a very painful kind. After deep personal loss of a partner to death and the end of my church family being let go because of COVID, financial struggles, I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't know what my calling or purpose was here in this church. But through many closed doors and many prayers, my own and of family and friends all throughout this country, God led me home. Home to South Carolina. To a new ministry now through Lutheran Services Carolinas. When I moved to South Carolina, where my parents had relocated, I moved to be closer to them during this time of grief and loss. And I chose to go to a church in Murrells Inlet area, Shepherd of the Sea. I was invited by a complete stranger. She said, "Come on, we love our church. You're going to love it there." Okay, all right, I'll go to church. but I'm not telling anybody who I am or what I do. On that first Sunday in worship, a young man from Africa stood up and thanked the congregation for helping him as a refugee who had entered the United States through Lutheran Services Carolinas, and their circle of welcome team that they had there welcomed him at the airport and then helped them find a home, a job, helped him learn his way around, get clothing, figure out the grocery stores, and became friends and companions to him during that hard time of resettling. In that moment, God whispered, "See, Sarah, I'm still working. I'm still doing things around here. I'm reforming his future and I'm reforming yours." And guess what? He just whispered my direction to you. Reformation is resurrection. It's life that rises from what is dead or feels dead. God's truth will always lead to freedom, a new life. Friends, this is what reformation looks like today. Today, it's not about nailing a thesis to the church walls, as Martin Luther did. It's about God taking what's broken and reshaping it into something whole. Look around. Our nation is torn apart by fear. Not just our nation, all nations are torn apart by fear. Our conversations, they are dripping with judgment. Our churches wrestle with what to do in these times. We wrestle with comfort versus compassion. And our hearts forget how wide God's mercy really is. We can't claim to follow Jesus and ignore the suffering that he died for. Reformation begins when we remember who we are and whose we are, the truth of the gospel that calls us to freedom from fear, freedom from pride, and freedom from hate. And I go back to, what would Jesus do today? What would he reform? He would speak truth to power, but without hate and judgment. He would stand in solidarity with the grieving. He would call us to mercy rather than to sides. He would say, "You cannot love me and hold on to hate. You cannot love me and hate at the same time. Because, see, I love the people that you may hate. You cannot follow me and cling to resentment. You have to let that go." He would tell us, "Lay it down, let it go, let me reform your heart." And that's an invitation today. This is not a fiery altar call. It's a Lutheran one, an Episcopalian one. When you come forward to this table today, to our table of grace, to this altar and communion rail, bring with you something that needs reforming. Imagine a cross or a door here laying on the altar, and you're going to nail that thing that needs reforming in your life to that door or that cross. Maybe it's a habit that drains your peace, that keeps you from freedom. Maybe it's an addiction that has you tied up in knots and prevents you from the freedom of this life. Maybe it's an attitude of fear or resentment towards a person, a thing, a place, a people. Maybe it's the need to always be right or the anger you carry towards someone. Maybe it's your exhaustion or the voice that says you're not enough or the voice that says you're not doing enough. Whatever it is, you know, bring it. Lay it down here. Nail it to that door. Nail it to that cross. Give it over. And as you open your hands and you take the bread and the cup, take in that spiritual food of grace and courage, and receive the power of Christ to reform your heart and your mind and your life. At this table, you receive not only forgiveness, but freedom and grace, the truth of God's love made flesh. Then go into your homes. Then go back to your families. Go to your workplaces. Go out into the store to your communities and be reformers there. Reformers of peace and love. Let your life preach the gospel. Let your love be louder than hate. And let God lead the way. This is what it means to be a Reformation people. God is not done with us, and God is not done with the church. God is not done with you. Whenever something feels dead or broken, God is breathing and resurrecting new life. The same spirit that moved through Martin Luther is moving through us today, calling us to reformation, renewal, and resurrection to set us free. Let us pray. Gracious and faithful God, reform us again. We are divided. Unite us. We are fearful. Make us bold. We are angry. Soften us with your peace. We cling to resentment. Help us to release it. As we come to your table, please help us lay down what burdens us and rise up renewed by your grace. And then send us out to reform our world through your love. In Jesus' name, amen.